be limited to 1 hour 50 minutes.
For our members, you all know what is the purpose of today's meeting, but before we get into that, we have a number of apologies. We have an apology from Honorable Phil Downing, an apology from Honorable Stein, apology from Honorable Kruger. Is it Kruger here? Honorable Kruger, an apology from the chairperson of the committee which was announced earlier on, an apology from Comrade Dongwani, Honorable Dongwani. Those are the apologies that we have before us. Having said so, like I said, the people today's meeting is to get a presentation from the department on the second quarter performance and expenditure report. We have in our presence the minister, Honorable Sokwani, you are welcomed. We have the Director General of the Department, Honorable Mlengana. Same difference. We have the DDG, Agricultural Production, Health and Food Security, Re Ramasodi. We have DDG Kobokwe. We have DDG Dau. We have DDG Ndungani. We have Sihole, Bupape, Mashiho, and Mafani. If I did not introduce anyone among the delegation, the secretary will give me names as we proceed. Now, before I hand over to the minister, Honorable Paulson, you had your head up. What is the issue?
I was going to assist you, Chairperson, you allow the department and the officials to introduce themselves. And then you allow the members to introduce themselves.
I've read the whole book. I have not seen a section in the entire whole book. So unfortunately, it is the discretion of the chair to decide as to how to proceed. Members will not introduce themselves because the officials in the department, they know who we are and so on. So I'm handing over to you, our minister, to lead us with the presentation or to delegate to anybody who will lead the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. President. I will delegate the presentation to the DG, but I'll say that as farmers, the rain that has fallen, we hope they will continue so that they can give us a relief and also with the simple plant and make food safety and security a relief.
And a good insecure
have sufficient access to stay in the Shastri. Secondly, as the NDP articulated, the aggressive transformation of the sector without compromising productivity. That's an objective of that, namely to promote and empower smallholder producers through targeted support measures to increase their competitive edge towards becoming sustainable producers or sustainable commercial farmers. Secondly, on transformation, we want to transform the fisheries sector by implementing the small scale fisheries policy, which will change the social economic profile of our sector, especially the communities that live around where these things are, and that particular policy comes to enabling and empowering those members of communities. Lastly, on transformation, to achieve a new regime for sustainable forest management. Thirdly, to create jobs, to curb unemployment. And the government then supports us through its policy and program, which is the achievement of the National Development Goal, National Development Program goal of creating 1 million jobs by 2030. We want to increase the contribution of agriculture to GDP. I think this is a statement of economic importance. It articulates the view that agriculture should make a major contribution to the economic growth of the country. And that is defined as a contribution to gross domestic product. One, we'll do that by implementing EFET, strengthening our animal disease and plant pest control capabilities and surveillance measures to enhance exports and trade. We heard about some of the diseases, foot and mouth, lumpy skin disease. Those are national security diseases that prevent us from exporting agricultural goods, especially meat. We want to conclude trade opportunities with other emerging economies and accelerate trade on the African continent. A statement is very powerful, Honorable Chair, that it defines our relationship with our neighbor as that of growth, that we must continue there, to must continue to export to them, and perhaps allow them to export to us, therefore contributing to the social economic life of our African community in general. Now, those were objectives, Honorable Chair. Then I think the question is, what then has been the problem against it? This slide talks to the member. But it also specifically takes up key components that must be achieved. One of those is 300,000 jobs to be created by 2019, a contribution to the 1 million jobs. The target on 2016-17 is 124, 507 jobs. The progress here today on MTSF and MTSF is 39,000, still good with the 40,000. With a contract level of 200. We want to put 1 million hectares of unutilized land under production of wheat, a contributor to economic growth in a sector that's very important in our government, namely the rural community. Let's go in there and take those lands and utilize them fully to the benefit of our rural communities. Therefore, we set a target for 1 million, but on the MDSS side, we can say 200. We are sitting at 187,000. We have on smallholder producers by 2019, 80,000 jobs, 80,000 small producers have been supported. And I think there is a need for visible monitoring and
management or measurement of that target. MGSS 2014, 15, mid-term, 2016, 17, 42,708 producers reported. Year to date, we've done 108,000 jobs, 12,000 support for producers. These are the producers that we supported. So 1.6 million households should be benefiting from food security and nutrition initiatives, which links very well with the objective I stated then. And the other target is 118,000 households maintain maturity of food, and that is the initial. The progress here to date on NDSF is 664,000 or 65,000 households have received this support. Target is there, the hectares of land under rehabilitation, just to create an understanding there, Honorable Chair, with returning to forest there. The target is put in 153,000, for the MGSF is 199, year to date, progress is 53,000 of land has been rehabilitated, which means we've got more forest in the future. Afforestation prepared. Madam Chair, I'm sorry, Honorable Chair, with your permission, I now am going to go to what is the question as to what is progress then on water food specifically. Well, this is departmental targets that are part of the ACP. I'm not going to spend more time on that. And this is a summary of that on summary of that to see the following slide. I want you to get into water feed into performance highlights and water feed targets with specific reference to households benefiting from food production initiatives. Water feed targets for 5,000 progress or achievement yesterday to 1,219. That explains the balance, and the balance of 3,781. We have put up a balance explanation. 15,000 smallholder producers should be able to support. 4,000 is the target of product group. 162 are the producers that have been able to support from us. Slide 23. 18 commodity-based cooperatives should be established. Then talking to economies of scale, bringing together smallholder farmers and producers to form cooperatives. The government requests or requires of us to create 18 commodities. We have set a target on this, a special target, and that target is 5 cooperatives. To create an established cooperative is honorable chair is a task that is laborious, is a task that is complicated because you need to align commodity profiles, the profiles of the members of this cooperation. I'm pleased to report that we have achieved 5 and we do delineate these 5 to be in the 2 in the Eastern Cape province that is known for its poverty, 1 in the Western Cape, 1 in Southing, 1 in the we have achieved. I think the next stage is to verify the quality of the members who are there from the production standpoint. 108 cooperatives annually, we should have targeted them. We targeted 108 cooperatives to be supported with training programs, a very critical component of capacity for people. We put a target on quarter 2 of 30. We have achieved that. And the delineation the target for hectares on agricultural land that we have rehabilitated 15,000, for the target is 4,000. We have, year to date, done 692. And we need one to align these reporting timelines. It's just a question of aligning the timeline to ensure that it is consistent. 300 number of hectares of 80 million should be rehabilitated. 100 hectares have what the target were achieved. I think you're lying about that, because that means there is a growth that is happening within the forest sector. But that growth should talk to the empowerment and ownership of those assets by the community that live in those areas where those forests are located. Ocean Economy, or what is called Operation Paris, has set an annual target of 5 projects. Quarter 2 decided to take the targets of 2 projects in phase 1. Projects that we have achieved that, we have achieved 1 because of the various nature of this project. And with a total of 1, that varies, not worrying me too much, because I know this is a concerted effort to ensure that we achieve that project. Specifically with respect to intervention. 30 joint operations through the Operation Agisa initiative. Those joint operations are targets. We've done 6 joint operations. We have targeted for quarter 2. That is the annual target of about 30. Quarter 2 is 6 joint operations as a target. We have overachieved that, and 12 joint operations have been conducted. We are pleased with that performance of Operation Paris. And then tell me that Operation Paris, though it is for it does help if implemented appropriately. It does help progress and impact. What remains just for me to ensure that I verify that in terms of how it impacts economically within the community. Annual target on compliance, 2,900. Compliance and enforcement measures in each cultural fishery sector has been fully implemented. Those sectors, Honorable Chair, is West Coast of lobster and many other fishes. Those fishes we need to prioritize the implementation there in terms of compliance. 600, we put it as a quarter two target. And I'm happy to report and thank God that we've done 1,189 inspections year to date, which means we are saving some of our species, fishery species, and one hopes that we can verify that on the ground, because it ensures that we've got a future in that sense. Annual target, I'm not going to spend more time on annual, 59 verifications in target. But we need to go out there and conduct 59 investigations. We have done 49 years to date with the death of the queen. So it gives me pleasure that I'm going to be reporting on governance and administration, a very precise issue that established the integrity of our reporting, and especially the integrity of the information we receive. Risk Management Committee have approved and we've implemented the risk management implementation plan. That risk management committee has come up with a plan, which is a profile of the nature of risk that face our department. And then we've put some action to ensure that wherever there is concern or a challenge to this risk, we are able to implement the plan. Secondly, the fraud register has been developed for detailing approaches that the department will undertake to prevent fraud. Human resource plan has been approved and implemented to comply with DPSA requirements. We have interim financial statements that have been submitted to National Treasury by the DPS. Honorable Chair, let me apologize. I just don't know how this microphone decide to switch off. That means that it is also being compliant with this. Yeah, hopefully, for the death of my hammer for the action. As I want to go back, the National Food Nutrition and Security Committee and the Peter Salah Integrated Food Production Sectorial Policy. We have reviewed studies followed to the protocol for a total of 1 million was discussed with our team and some universities for targeted research development programs. This is very important, Chair, that it gives us an understanding that knowledge is continuous, and therefore research to understand new methodologies is very important. And the ALC, as the center of our research, has done so much out of it. So I'm encouraging, Chair, the support that we should give to the ALC because of what it has produced, and it continues to research. Communication strategy has been aligned with the media campaign framework, and media plans have been implemented for key events such as the Female Entrepreneur Award. I can just mention, Honorable Chair, that we are not only giving awards as a ceremonial activity, we are saying those who are awards are telling us about the capability of our students in funding. The capabilities that we want to ensure do not disappear after that ceremony. So we put together strategies to work with these entrepreneurs so that they are contribute in a sustainable manner to the growth of the global agriculture world. Well, this is strengthening integrated performance management. And Chair, I want to spend more time on this because our colleagues are already in our provinces and SOEs right now, if that is going on, to strengthen this capability. Access to market by small holder farmers or producers. This has been a critical challenge to this sector. And it has really grieved us as leadership that up to now we have not produced commercial farmers, despite so much investment the government has made. Consequently, we are focusing on it. 8 farms were therefore certified through South Africa Good Agricultural Practices, creating to market access. There are many other things, but we are mentioning this because it is a gate that has been closed, now it's open, because people always talk about quality. We would like to buy from this farmer, but they must produce quality. Who defines quality? It seems to me now, this particular FAGF does. It does define quality for us. And I'm excited by the fact that 8 farms have been certified. These are more good. I'm going to be checking this to ensure that these become part of my commercial strategy, to ensure that in 5 years or 3 years from now, we have got about 500 commercial black farms that are exporting, that are producing quality. And that is therefore an exciting point to report on, Honorable Chair. Export is an indicator of economic growth, opening new markets. The reference here is to Kuwait, and I think there's an excitement around what's happening in the Middle East in terms of their growth and the stability of their economy. Therefore, to interact with them does give confidence to us that we've got a long-term relationship. But I continue to emphasize to my colleagues that if our sector is undergoing less growth, let them export to our neighbors, the African countries. If you look at the weather challenges, some of those are lying right in the middle of the equator, where there is no wind. Therefore, it makes sense that when we have got wind at this side, we are able to go to those countries and produce for our domestic market for goods that we cannot get because of wind at this side. And that helps us a lot. Similarly, if the exchange rate reduces the purchasing power of our rand, it makes sense for us to take that opportunity to export, to get foreign currency. That discourse allows. That discourse is what I'm driving to have. Biosecurity, is a fiscal component also, and we continue to ensure that in areas like the Mbombo, for example, we do surveillance, we do testing, and to ensure that what we produce is protected in disease free. Animal production and health. A total of 109 farmers across various provinces have been profiled to participate in the process to improve product. It's very important, Honorable Chair. Because you say if this panel can perform at a commercial level and supply markets such as hotels, every morning people eat and then consequently, if this policy indirects itself to those type of markets, we have sustained growth, we have the potential of creating new commercial poultry farms. Well, so about 32 light deliveries yet. I'm pleased to report this, Chair, because it's so significant in terms of how we touch the lives of our people. We're purchasing 32 light delivery vehicles in an attempt at implementing primary animal health care. This is extremely significant because what it does, this is what they call, in other words, Honorable Chair, they call it these things mobile clinics. They have everything in there. And if we align our extension officers to this and they access knowledge, primary health care would be a dominant factor that favorably influence local economic growth. Again, this 124 veterinarian to the veterinarian student is a very important fact because it says that we have got qualified students who can go to our rural areas. We are deploying them. And we want to make sure that they then interact with our community by sharing their skill, by ensuring that production in terms of animal husbandry is managed properly within the rural areas in particular. A total of 872 animals have been quarantined for observation, and tests were conducted for presence of diseases prior to release or detained in non-compliant farms. These are animals that have been imported inside sanitized countries, and that's what our animal production side do to ensure that there are no diseases that are carried over to our animal population. Plant production and health. This geophilus was detected in all of the provinces, and we are busy putting up surveillance in all areas, and we want to ensure that we eradicate this disease. I'm happy to report, Honorable Chair, that one of our requirements, which is one of our bills, which is the preservation and development of agricultural land framework, is sitting within the legislature. Is a point of discussion there. This is a bill that helps and gives us more authority in terms of land regulation. And the socio-economic impact assessment report has also been submitted to PPME. We are revitalizing one of our biggest schemes called the Valhas Irrigation Scheme. That we continue to do so. Not in isolation though, because part of our strategy or objective in the 9-point plan, which is the revitalization of agriculture and the agro-processing value chain. In that, we are talking about the revitalization of all components of agriculture with a reference to water availability in what we call irrigation schemes. We have done that pretty much well in former homelands in particular, but the balanced one is just a scheme of its own. And I am pleased to note that the impact would be one of the economic growth in that area of Northern Cape. We implement climate smart or change plan through vulnerability mapping for conventional farming systems. The model report was compiled for vulnerability for mapping conventional farming systems. We have discussed the issue of rehabilitation of the forestry, especially the land, but I just need to mention that a discussion document on the forestry grant fund framework has been developed. Agroforestry strategy framework that implementation plan has been developed. This will guide the implementation of the strategy, especially the strategy of empowering our community around which this forest exists. And that the plan was not coming. We are busy drafting the meaning of the benefit or the value proposition of forestry and land rehabilitation to those communities. Well, I will hold after the slide, Honorable Chair, but it's important to highlight what fisheries management is all about. Because fisheries as a sector is extremely important in terms of its contribution to empowerment. Now we speak about right registers for five fishing sectors, so we have compiled there. Final right allocation was made for the net fish sector, and the black right register for the newly allocated net fish sector was finalized. The minister agreed to extend the decision to the 15 period for the draft, which is the official decision process, in order to allow applicants more time to submit their application. Really, this is a recognition that our people, whom we want to empower, we communicate to them. They understand the process of accessibility, how they get access to apply, who do they apply to, what should they apply to. Because those are the criteria that have been set, but our people did not know. The consequences is to continue to strengthen the current commercial fishing. And we're not against that. This is the impression that people think when we come up with a small fisheries policy, we are saying one thing. I don't want to make the point, Honorable Chair. Our growth should be inclusive. We recognize the key commercial farmers here. We have even suggested that if you can help these women grow into to be commercial fishermen, we can then give you this incentive that they grow to become this, and in the future, you can enable them to buy their own boat, with their own fishing boat. We therefore are not against them. We simply are not happy with the continuation of ensuring that there is one group of people who continue to live. It's just unfair. These individuals, black people or colored, whatever, we would not. We want to see a fair and a just allocation of these licenses. And therefore, Chair, as far as the presentation of what that is concerned, I will stop at this slide, but I would like to go to the management. Because this seems to indicate that we have been moving small tonight and beautiful strategy. I think there have been nine achievements this week that I would like to highlight the comment. That we would like for you. Well, the first part is that we've got to I do not start, Chair, by saying most of the issues that we're working on here, especially the issues around labor absorption, are contained in the CARS and food production, security, food production initiative. We have not reported those here, but I think that report is available because I told my colleagues we need it. We cannot continue committing the things that we are not going to do by this program. But I don't want to highlight that. That the target of validation has not been completed in time as we are preparing this report. All these targets are headed to now because the stage and the information is expensive. Unit validation within 90 days after the end of the border, as the requirement of the PMD. This annual plan, we need to implement that. Progress is on the implementation of this risk approval plan has not been achieved. There are reasons for it, but I can assure the Honourable Committee that shall, by the next time I report, that will be issued. HR plan needs to be implemented. That for the two targets, we have not finalized that plan. Similarly, the average number of days to finalize the conduct basis. We have not achieved it. And this creates a lot of discomfort in terms of the motivations of people who work. We have got people sitting there and expecting to go through trials, but we are not finalized. So we are ensuring that new project that we've approved in finalized period. We report on the scale of assessing from primary site to secondary site, with delayed procurement of fiber, resulted in scale of assessing from the primary site to secondary site. That also is not in time. We need to conduct and provide internal training to the staff, the PCC, and the PCC coordinators, and crisis management. When the good old reason is that the director did not take the recommendation from SPM, however, due to lack of funds, the training did not take the effect. The other report on the implementation of APEC in the country was not finalized. And I think the rapport there is present by that, because APEC is a key contributor of action-based plan for delivering labor rapport plan strategy. Number of veteran graduates deployed to a resource poor community, notification of students on allocated facilities. 124% of the expected 120 students were not notified of the allocated public student water treatment. And it's something that management must pay attention to. Management model for state-owned forest development needs to be developed. Consultation of stakeholders on the management model for state-owned forest was not achieved. International relations strategy should be implemented to review and monitor the national draft implementation plan that was done there. Well, environmental impact assessment, consultation with affected stakeholders has not been happening because of a lack of focus there. It was really the most simple thing to do in terms of stakeholder relationship. You can put it under the relationship management model. I think I would like to take more time on that conceptual report. I think I'll let Mr. Ramaswamy talk on the financial side, which is the extension. But I think that report is there on the way. Data, therefore, I think there is no much areas that concern us that we cannot manage. It is part of management where we've got some vacancies that increase and the auto stock and the challenges of jobs to be executed. What everything I've spoken about, it does need human capability. So when the gap exists, it provides us with failure. Well, really the expenditure on water flow is a community of the statewide line, 25% of the success failure. What has occurred then, that was that where there is a deviation, that deviation should not affect us going forward. Because the variance itself must ensure that it is because of our excitement in implementing our plan. So consequently, a quarter through variance is not an issue. I don't know what that thing is for you. But if there are any anomalies, please, honorable chair, honorable member, please raise it. If it's there, I think it's right 55. For me, the year-to-year performance is good. And so, Ramaswamy, would you like to add?
Yes, DG, thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister. The presentation on finances starts on slide 54 and is outlined within the two issues. One, looking at expenditure for the cost ahead program and also going economic certification, and the very same is done to look at the two quarters cumulatively so that members are raised in terms of what is transpired. Based on the straight line budgeting that the DG was talking about, we are also currently if you look at those opposite two, you would not see that there is a huge issue. But there is an issue around goods and services that I'll talk to that was brought around by the carryover that we had from the 2015-2016 financial year. On slide 64, we are not significantly above the spending patterns that are there. The only program that is running a little bit higher is the program on trade promotion and market access, which is where we have got our upper chance to in foreign countries where we are. So that element of the dependency on the exchange rate is manifested in terms of the 32.2% that you see there. However, the other programs are not significantly far from the deviation from the 25%. We look at the expenditure for quarter two on slide 55 based on economic classification, and one realizes that the area where we have for total transfers and subsidies is an area where we have spent 29.3%. This is the money that is being taken to firstly to provinces in terms of cost EDMA, and also to the state-owned enterprises in terms of the parliamentary grants that are given there. And there is an explanation going forward that there was a double payment that was done for the ARP as we go forward. On slide 56, we have for the reasons that outline why we have the deviation that is significant, that explains that program one, we have to pay public work. There is also an issue that I just raised around the double payment on the conditional grants provinces and to the ARC, and also on program 5, which is the conditional grant and then pay that was made. The CFO has taken liberty also to just paint that picture on slide 57 that talks to how are we doing as a department based on the two areas that we are facing. I think we will skip to that slide because it will be better explained in terms of the next slide, but I would like to highlight only a few issues. With two portal bonds, we expect to be at 50, but we would realize that administration, trade promotion and marketing are spending way above what it needs to be spent, and I just given the reasons there. But part of the issue would be explained in slide 68, because if you look at it, the spending area that we are having is around goods and services, and it's mainly the carryovers that we have had from the 2015 financial year that has impacted, because we have to pay from the first quarter, and it manifests itself in a way that now we are currently at 64.8%. Some of the work that is encapsulated in the 64.8 has got to do with regulatory funding of the department, and we are currently through the DG trying to work on a program just to ensure to keep this, to ensure that we have got money to deal with those. As we go to slide 69, honorable members would remember that there was a request to say that we need to link our budget to the performance of the department, and this outlines how we have spent against the deliverables, and that is reflected from slide 59, 60, and 61. That clearly outlines why we have got deliverables here. Each and every program, it reflects on how we are doing. Thank you very much, DG. In essence, in terms of those deliverables, which is not the whole work that the department is doing, we are currently at 38% spent on the deliverables that we are doing. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you, Mr. Jody. I think I'll just run into the conclusion, sir, right away. And that conclusion is found in slide. We have performed up to 69% at the target of quarter two. In terms of our milestone, the achievement of our milestone. However, the performance is expected to improve during the comparison of the quarter two actual report after we've got four meetings are completed with the decision process. Honorable Chair, I can say the fact that to create integrity of the voting exercise number, where you have got transversal decisions and crossover of profiles of jobs, it is difficult to take one point and say this is the accurate until you have validated. Our validation then comes from statistics. And it's very good for us. It's great, it's an authority for us. And it depends. Those steps, that's our response. The local quality assurance process, mainly for transversal indicators, has been the reason for some of the non-performance misaligned in terms of performance lines. The misalignment reporting time frame, funding for government framework such as the DOR, presidential outcomes, estimate of national expenditure, and GPMA reporting guidelines. These misaligned reporting time frames also contribute to the variation between information and different platforms of the same developers. Honorable Chair, the key area that now, as I conclude, I'm going to be focusing on, one, is the integrity of the information we receive. Secondly, is the impact that underlies what we call achieving, so that there can be visible impact that is verifiable. As a result of that, as we visit regions, we take a video so that you can see this is what is happening on the ground. And there is a motto in the division, in the department, Honorable Chair. It says, we are not good until the community is self-sufficient. There's always been a person within the department who can clap and say, we are good, we did this and that. We are good when the community itself says so. Therefore, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the House, thank you for giving us the opportunity to present. We hand over to you, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Is likely to have two oceans, the warm Indian Ocean and the cold Atlantic, with the Benguela Current also cutting through. And time allowing, we can go. So we're more well positioned on fisheries. On the Namibian issue, I'm sure will come on another day.
Okay. The platform is now yours.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, DG, for the presentation. I think for me the important point, and I think it was mentioned of it, under the previous minister, fishing allocations were a disaster. We had impaired debt getting fishing allocation, and these guys didn't know a fishing rod from an AK-47. So I want to know the progress in that. How far are we in empowering teaching community as opposed to giving allocations to your friends in the multinational corporations? Concern as to how you're going to take care of fishing communities, empowering them. And then the FAST program. Now this FAST program, I think this is the most, for lack of a better word, counter-revolution program. You're giving money to land fees, to give a share to the indigenous people in the farms, where they are working. And when I speak to these people that are supposed to be participating in farm working, you know that farmers' children get flown to university in a private little plane. And the farm workers get a 43,000 rand bonus at the end of the year. They think it's wonderful because given the conditions of farms, and you know that even European countries are removing our wine from their shelves because of the conditions of our farm workers. Now I know you're going to say that this particular labor issue should reside somewhere else, but I think that the problem starts here. And it starts here because, number one, if the East cooperation with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, very little is said about it. Number two, if it does exist, it's not doing anything to change the patterns of ownership of agricultural land. So I need to know what has been done to change it. If I look here in the heat of a valley of the hundreds of hectares of table grapes, which is one of our biggest export products, table grapes, from the heat of a valley, here from the Western Cape. And I look at the number of farm workers there, the number of farmers there. You have big black out of the hundreds. And in terms of that co-op that is formed, these black farmers are basically at the mercy of the white. What has been done to take care of black farmers, allow them to participate in the export opportunities that exist? I know you failed in terms of changing land ownership over the past 21 years, and you probably changed it, but you never succeeded. I mean, the best you could do for farm workers was to implement a cost program where you pay the land fee to give them some share in the land that's historically there. So my question is, will you perpetuate the situation on a farm in terms of cost? What is being done to change the patterns of ownership of agricultural land? And then you also spoke about 1.6 million households benefiting from food security and nutrition initiatives now. The nature of these initiatives are very important. I mean, I know there's a culture of handing out food for some sort of charity, which does nothing to uplift human dignity. What is being done to empower these 1.6 million households with self-sufficient and dignity? And those are the real issues. And don't forget, I want a question about the fishing allocation for death. I don't want to see the MKZ getting fisheries and fish chairs. they propose they can tell the difference between an AK 47 and a fishing rod. It's highly unlikely to detect a laser and then change it.
Well, of course, I think that quickly acknowledge also take your question, turn off your mic on our chat.
Thank you, Chair. Fortunately, I'm a military veteran. My questions will not be mostly questions, they could change the inputs. First, you noted that in my slide 17, there is that achievement of 1664 database 118. And again, on slide 25, you have the variance there with some overachievement. I noticed there that when you have a variance that is positive, you don't have any reason or comment of how you manage to put your time. And to me, that you are disadvantaging the department because that should mean loss. Because it is assist to understand. So that if you pay because you have these skills of your given, these are actually to have. And on slide 37 again, there is that part of university that you said you were working with. The DG on the document you are having is SES University. And when you talk, you said some universities and you are coming to the truth now. You say to me that to some extent you should be able to say which university, because there are some which you have created for specific reasons that the work with the ARC. And on slide 29 again you have all the provinces there except three. Not maybe there should be an indication whether that program is going to extend to other provinces, other three provinces which are not implemented there. And the next one is on that DAPA. The DAPA seems to me that there's a lot of involvement of other departments which I'm afraid it is not named or managed. It will definitely help you say for this process getting out of your hands or out of your control. As a department. Now, on the targets of quota 2, it's clear that there are some achievements which would mean that maybe if those are not, some have not been achieved, to me it means that the target, I assume that the targets for quota 3 might change because we have the ones which are quota from and therefore, this would mean that there's a linkage between the previous one and the next one. Otherwise, let me also say I definitely accept and appreciate the explanation of the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Otara,
for the
question. I thought that when you said that you are also an NK veteran, you will tell us whether you don't have any tradition or not.
You got deployed here.
But as a veteran as well, I'll come back to it. Thank
you, Chief. The department is budgeted for extra drug assistance, but now the feedback we get from the industry out there is that the money is only going to go to small scale farmers. Now, I would like to know, is there a plan, what is the plan? And how will the money be spent? And is it true that the money is only going to small-scale farmers? Then, this is for the minister. Minister, I look at program 5 and I see that out of the 9 targets, only 5 were achieved, and out of the possible 4,000 hectares had to be rehabilitated, only 692 were actually achieved. Now, mention has been made of a discussion document that has been developed, and I wonder if we're going to have access or insight into this document. Now, the DG must correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard him say there's a lack of focus. Now, I've been in this committee for the last 2.5 years, and forestry really doesn't seem to be taken seriously. You know, we have all these things we say that there's going to be agroforestry and all those kinds of nice words and nice plans, but nothing really happens, and we as a committee, I feel, do not have enough information at our disposal to really decide what is happening out there. We do not get to go to, I think in the 2.5 years that I've been here, we went to one forestry platform. Was it in KZN? And nothing else. So is there a possibility, Minister, and I'm asking you, that at some stage we could talk in a more in-depth fashion about forestry and what the plan of the department is to move there, because at the moment nothing seems to be happening. Then I also want to speak about small scale fisheries, and the DDG says that the idea with small scale fisheries is to improve the lives of coastal communities, fishery communities, fishing communities. Now, I've heard over and over and over again in this committee that the allocation will be made to traditional fishermen, people who make a living out of the sea. Now, somebody must please explain to me, how then does it happen that along the west coast, there's a number, you know, the list of the people were published 2 weeks ago, and on that list appear a number of names of teachers who are still working. Now, somebody must explain that to me. If the aim is to empower and possibly enrich traditional fishermen, how come that we go in the same route? As Honourable Porton referred to what comrades and MPs and those people, but if you are telling us that the aim of small-scale fisheries is to improve the lives of fishing communities and traditional fishermen, please explain to me what is happening that so many teachers are on that list. Then, lastly, I want to ask you about a consignment of shrimp that came to South Africa in October and which tested positive for cholera. I saw that the Indian authorities were going to come to South Africa and that we were going to talk about it. Can you please tell us, has the matter been resolved and what is happening at the moment? There's one more question I want to ask, and it concerns harbour development, and I see that I see that you say that another department is involved in the development of the harbours that identified. Now, I would like to know what then is DAC's role in these development. And a little stone in my shoe lately has been climate change and whether when we do the planning of harbors, are we factoring in the fact that it is a known thing, it's a scientific fact that sea levels are rising. And even in existing harbors, some of the walls are too low, all those kinds of things. So if you could just explain a little bit about harbour development and where we are and who's doing what. Thank you.
Well, I will then tell you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. DG, given the fact that South Africa is very vast, so on top of the 32 light incentives that are going to be implemented this primary and mandate program. So how this has been distributed, because South Africa is a big country, so the number is very small. Then number two, currently now this vacancy rate is just 11%. I just want to check that what is the challenge there? Is it the budget or something else? Because now if you have got 11% people that are not employed in vacancy, so it means now at least we are not assisting to increase unemployment. Then the last one, there was these two, SAPI and Meresi. These are the two that were competing and getting land from the traditional leaders or the communities in order to get land and plant. So that now they keep using the value of their sort of employment. So I just want to check now, what is the position now? Because these two youth now to compete vigorously. So in the local authority now, seeing they were always in favor of the other one. So I want to check what is the position now. Thank you very much. For the check.
Thanks, Chair. I know that it's not my job to try and answer a question, but I thought it will be important to indicate that whilst members have the right to ask questions, Chair, I think it's not appropriate for members to generalize, particularly when it comes to MSA on the issue that one honorable mentioned here, that people can differentiate between a fishing rod and an agent of service. We are members of, I'm a member of MSA MPA. There are instances where members of the association were given allocation and they were incompetent in carrying out that must be mentioned, so that we know that a particular grouping within the association did the following, and which is wrong, if that is done. And they should be treated with respect for who they are and the role that they have performed. I'm saying this because I felt a great chair and the chair, I think we should be protected. I support the view that yes, there must be economic transformation within the sector because not much has been done. And if you look at some of the comments that the department have mentioned in their presentation here, one we appreciate and note the presentation minister and the DG, but we don't get full clarity in terms of the issues that we have outlined here. How do we relate that to the issue of transformation? For instance, on page, I think it's page 23, where you are talking about 18 commodity based cooperative established. I would be happy, DG, if an elaboration can be done. This 18 cooperatives and economic transformation of the sector, how do they relate? Because it doesn't say much unless the person who will understand what you are talking about here is the person who is involved in the practical interaction with these cooperatives that has been understood. Equally, the 108 cooperatives supported and with training, it doesn't say, these cooperatives, how do they relate to issues of transformation, because that is a problem. For instance, there is a concern around fisheries, and in previous briefings, we have been very they related to any, or are they fisheries or anyone, so that we have a broader understanding of what you are talking about when you are talking about these issues. You are page 25, you are right, 5 operations that is a project for phase 1 support. You need to impact that, including the safety joint operation. The other comment which it, I didn't fully understand is on page 22, where you are talking about the reason of the variance, that a total of 3,000 households were reported to have been supported, and 2,000 households could not be verified to have been supported. I mean, if somebody provides information that is inaccurate, why are they doing that? And who is giving you information that is not accurate, which you put into a report that you submit to Parliament? Because at this level, we expect to be given information that is fully processed. I know that some of the things are not verified, but I mean, for people to arm you with information of this kind that you must come into the right here, which is inaccurate, I think is a bit of a problem such people should be exposed and be dealt with for doing what they are not supposed to do. Thank you very much. Minister Tiji, we will then come to the last round.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will join the sentiment, although I'm not in that capacity, to say casting aspersions and presenting unfounded allegations about allocation of fishing rights to people carrying MK4 is unfounded. Not only unfounded, it's not documented. I would be happy if the concern honorable member can present proof thereof, that there was an allocation to people. And also to me it belittles the role played by such traders. And I wouldn't dwell with that on a political basis. But on fishing allocation as a disaster, I think that we have presented a number of occasions to this committee. The work that the department has done in dealing with FRAP 2013, from the Harris report to Yemang Basati report, that culminated in us issuing the fishing rights as we stand. And how far are the fishing rights allocations to communities? If you look at it at a small scale policy and you go through it, it will show you the intention is not only to allocate, but is to build economies around those areas. I can assure you this, that the aim is to do away with the situation where people are giving fishing rights without fishing tools or working tools, and they end up diving for crayfish, and after catching it, they sell it for nothing. So we're trying to build economies around those. And your concern is taken note of. But I can assure you it is part of what we are trying to do as a department. On CAPS funding, your language, fine, I won't deal with that. As a department, I'm sure the DG will expand on that. But we're trying to make sure that for every cent that is spent on CAPS, it addresses the issues of small-scale farmers in assisting them to make sure that they are able not to remain small scale, but can also achieve, because small scale is not a title belonging to black farmers. It should be a stage of development. And I'm sure DG will add, because if you were to get a report from the operation Pakita on agriculture, some of the issues that we are raising are covered in that, which I think will come to this one. We have taken note of the issues we are raising. We have made the point that we separate the commodity notes within agriculture, and in each of them were coming with programs. One issue you are raising, you know, for the first time that we dealt with the working conditions of farm workers. And we're able to come up with a program which will not only be our program. It is our program together with labor and Department of Labor, Development and Land Reform. Let me agree that yes, in some areas there have been brutal or worse conditions under which farm workers are existing. That we cannot run away with. And it has not been because no work was done. But remember, when you pass any legislation, it needs people to monitor to see that people are compliant. And I agree with you on the issue you are raising about the choice of consumers. That if we don't rectify the way we treat our workers on farms, our products may lose up in the global market. That is something I think as a department will be engaging the wine producer. It is not in our intention to open market to end up with our products being taken out. Or may we blame those who remove those products because the conditions of farm workers, especially around the Gurun, are sometimes not available. But it is not to, it has nothing to do with our relationship with the white farmers, as you can say. If I were to take a political course, I want to, I think the opposite is true. On the land ownership, it is within the domain of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform that allocates land to leave us at disadvantage. And there is a report in terms of the opposition party, and it outlines what should be done by the department to fast track land reform and rural development, land reform, and allocating land to black people. And on the issue of the three black farmers in Tibet, I would be happy if you can forward, make sure that we get that so that as a department we can follow up, because it's not in our interest to see situations where our farmers are, but we cannot act and show you will be able to do that. And the perpetuity of the land reform and all that stuff, I'm sure as I said, it is contained in that report and we take note of it. I'm sure on the question by the Honorable Young Blood, in as far as the construction and the building of Harper, I think you should be knowing that. Oh, let me say it this way. That process is owned by the Department of Public Works. We administer Harper, but the construction thereof and the rest, and I'm sure at their disposal, they do have scientists because the work on climate change has been done thoroughly. When you speak of the oceans of Alishin Pakistan, which also involves the ocean, public works participate, and the scientists are available. But we would appreciate if there is a DA research that shows the opposite, so that when we work on this one, we're able to take into account another beyond group. On the issue you are saying that there's been allocations to non-traditional fishermen in the area of West Coast, we will have to get that report because in my understanding, the allocation of fishing rights is aim and objective is to ensure that it improves the conditions under which those traditional fishermen were working. And not only, because sometimes before, we were working as semi-legal, that's why we were harassed by state authorities. We are giving them now a fishing right so that they are recognized, and also where they need assistance, they are assisted. And we have quantified which the basket of different fish species so that their livelihood will not be curtailed when one comes to an end in terms of their cycle of fishing. This thing of cholera and Indian, was it a vessel? Or or that law, or
a shrimp. Yeah, consignment of shrimp. Food.
I know shrimp, but what I'm trying to understand is first that we need to follow that because I'm repeating, whenever the earth has to be any export or import of foodstuffs, there are stringent rules that are fulfilled that deals with food safety besides security. And I would appreciate if we can be given that information so that we can follow up, because everything that enters our area should be checked to make sure that it conforms to such. And this is the first time for me to hear what you are saying. But I would not dare to say it is not true. And I think if we can get permission that we can follow it up, the DDG of Food Security is here, and the task is to make sure that food available to our people are done. So those are areas I wanted to speak of. But that's trying to say is that one of the reasons why we think coordination, cooperation with our neighboring countries, especially those under the umbrella current coordinating committee, which is a committee of forms to ensure that different ministers, that is Angola, South Africa and Namibia, do talk, because in most cases we share stocks such that the fish you find in our shores may be from Namibia or Iceland. And luckily Namibia has got, they are more advanced in terms of their research vessel. So we have agreed that we need to look at joint operations, because there's this fish that Ms. Young Blood spoke about one day, which is called horse mackerel. At home, it is fished as an experimental fish, whereas in Namibia, it is an allocated quota. The reason it is experimental is because we have not yet been able, because we don't have the capacity of vessels, because vessels are designed for different fish species. On this one, I can assure you with no time, we will know their location. We will stop this thing of people exploiting it on the basis that they claim it is experimental. And when a black person is getting the same right, everybody makes a noise that it may be it, whereas others have been fishing it for years with not anything fair. So I agree with you. Transformation must not be something we speak of. It is something we need to do. It cannot be that in our oceans, there are five companies who are exploiting our fish species without any, I mean, they compete among themselves. One applies for 10 different fishing species. What they would do, they would call a person, please come, you are black, you are well positioned. Can you come and be our partner? You are a partner during application. Once they got to their quota, they chase you away because they have taken custody of all the fishing vessels. I'm sure we will come back to report, and I can assure you, any member of South Africa who claims to be for transformation may not dare to come to any forum and defend what is currently. It is a shame that in this country, no black person has got any right to fish for the highly valuable fish species. It is only a domain of those white companies. But when they fish in Namibia, they follow the Namibian policy of Namibization of their own fish species, which does not happen at all. I'm sure other questions will be answered by and also Ulus, I know, he wants to come on something very important.
Change operated investment. I know there are two organizations here that we have members of the MK, that is the EFF and the African National Congress. So it's a shame to come here and look at you that the only
era of our strategy in this
Jefferson
of the
Afro-Russian.
So it's a shame that somebody who comes from that era and come from that kind of oppression by apartheid comes here and ridicules those people who abandoned their life, their parents, their country, their girlfriend, their wives to go out there, to come back, and then ridicule them. What saved them from not getting the opportunity to go to school because they found it more important in the particular time to come and work to liberate people. Today, they are ridiculed because they can't separate between the AK and the fishing rod. I'm telling you, it doesn't help the empty smile that you have displayed. Because the cuts of the matter, you are reducing, undermining, ridiculing the very history racism. That's why the Honorable DA member agrees with you on that. Yes.
I'm not even going to stop the guy. I'm going to stop him.
No.
We have yet to defend the...
What's your point?
I disagree.
You make a statement and don't expect people not to, respond to statements that you're making.
I was making it in the context that people got fishing allocations that weren't even entitled to fishing allocations. At the cost of fishing communities.
Then
it's not our problem that you let it be bad for payers.
Don't put your petty thing on me.
No, it's not our problem.
Don't put your petty thing on me.
You can all think about the issue.
Don't take it in on me.
No, I don't.
Don't keep it on me. On our process, you know we're in a meeting here.
Then speak to them. Speak to your question here.
You don't speak as you wish. If you make a statement that is provocative, you must expect human beings to be provoked. You make that statement, now you allow other members to respond to your statement. Because when you made that, nobody interjected.
Driving a village at the Dilivan post,
dogs will follow you and bark at you. What you'd never do is to stop as well and bark at them. But when you go back to the board, you won't say you could not do a post because dogs were barking. Nobody is a dog here. That's the story I'm making. The point I'm dragging, therefore, is that must be focused. In being focused, Chappelle says, it is not only untrue that there was any allocation on MPNV. I have said, before you can get an allocation, you should get an access to a vessel. How to help if the honorable member can give us as a department the proof, the number of the vessel on which MPNVA was allocated, any fishing rights. Those people have been queuing like many other Africans because of not accessing a vessel, which is a requirement for the commercial fisheries. They couldn't get any. That's why this new policy on small-scale fisheries is designed to assist traditional fisheries. If that story was thrown, I know in Cape Town there are many people who write stories about fishing people. There's one guy that seems to be a champion who was an agent of one company who deprived the traditional people of their own fishing rights and tend to be now later. Mr. Simpson, I'm sure you know him. He is in the Western Cape. Don't read what he writes. Look for information and truth. I'm not saying you, I'm saying people in general. In general. So if you want us to answer you on the question of MKMVA members being allocated in fishing rights, give us proof.
On the table of government, it has also said, I'm going to talk to myself. I think the questions, Chair, and I'll answer them not necessarily in order, but there's one on drought. One of the members there is about drought. I think first and foremost, the current allocation was provincially driven. These were requests that the province made to national treasury. We discussed with national treasury the strategy of employing those services. So, but it is important to note that we are also have negotiations with commercial articles, which are discussed with the Minister Mexican this morning, and they're excited about the proposals that coming from the minister in terms of strategy going forward. And consequently, I just need to report to you on that, remember that we're working as one unit. We're working as one unit going forward. There was a strong discussion about the empowerment of the command in this part of the world and the associated empowerment in general. I had a very strong debate with the embassy of the king. And sometimes it was really difficult for constructive tension. But some tension because the radio called me and I made my point and he was unhappy. Eventually I had to call the farmers, you know, see, and all those farmers prove what I was saying. But the nice thing is that we came up with a strategy of working together. And that's what came out of that. So consequently, there is therefore a strong relationship. The issue of forestry not being taken seriously, I think there is the misnomer, maybe it's not coming up very quickly because it's not highly controversial as fisheries. It stays in that fisheries. If I allow the DDG to talk to the strategy, you will surely be excited about what will come up. But I think going forward, we are going to take this sector. A little bit, but we're interrogating in a strategy which we want to go through. And I'm pleased with what the department actually has been doing to achieve a number of things. But I think we need to highlight those things to the honorable member of the government. By taking over there. There was an issue. I think most of the people who are here, honorable chair, are lying unsinful. I will try to release in the security community in July just to allow them to talk on some of the issues because they are pretty much practical. One of the issues was the distribution of these
clinics, mobile clinics, they have been distributed quite fairly well. There is a list, the DDG will talk to that. I think for us, balance in agriculture is what drives the issue of segregation. Is an issue that concerned me in your thinking. Consequently, it began to address it. It was not nice. But it's an issue of empowerment, unfortunately. Where was the, it cannot be possible. And we're saying this as operation managers, this is not political on our side. We're saying, let's find the best way of how we can do integration assistance between commercial farmers, and so commercial fishermen, and the smallholder farmers, or small fishermen. In the same manner that we have done with grain, with agri-SA, we have done Dow, Afalsa, NAFU. They have eventually formed something called the forum that was established to discuss common issues. The agri-sector unity forum, I form our part of that in my previous life. So issues like that. This is my wish as I discuss with the DDG here, that has called this commercial fisheries. And make them understand deeper the implications of unitary ownership of wealth. It does contribute directly to social ease, such as crime. One who's wealthier than the rest. And these people understand it, but they feel threatened. So I said to my colleagues, bring them into the discussion. Let's say, for example, you give a quota of X for them to take so many of the commercial and smallholder fisheries. Take 20 of these guys and commercialize them, we will assist you with this, so they get incentive. We're discussing this. And we are cognizant of the major role they play in driving the economy of the country. But we're saying it cannot be sustained if one group does that at the expense of them. And therefore, it is in our common destiny and interest to uplift those who are not at the beneficial side of public process. And I think they are beginning to be amenable, they are beginning to sense the reality. There's no more threat. In the same way that we did with agriculture on various commodities. So I just want to allay the honourable member that there is relationships that are being built at that level. I think there was a number of issues which I want to throw back to my colleague here, and that issue was raised by Mr. Kasim Mashale, and I think it's very important that the figures that we give and I take that point because it undermines the very concept of management in that that you can take a figure and show it to people, you rather not, my colleagues know that, rather not report it than to report a false thing. And the first statement when I put that point, I said the best thing I like is the truth. Whether that truth is there, please say it. So consequently, I will just show it to you both and allow. Oh, sorry. Okay, I think the issue of forestry, the DM is better placed on this one. DM, I'll show it to you because you know this, you have been running this and driving this and have been implementing some of the challenges within the forestry sector. Then I give it over to you.
So listen, I'll be short. The portfolio comments you have invited to one of the conferences of the world in the sense we intend to be testing, and it was on forest, where South Africa made a lot of input and a lot of listenership in this name, wealth in the forest. We were highly pleased. Maybe, Mr. Minister, what you can conceive is that maybe we're not talking much about the forest, which does not necessarily mean that we are not doing much on that. Maybe it will be given space in other times so that we see how much ground that has been covered on forestry. Forestry is one area that blacks in South Africa, Africans in particular, have not been given much of the space. We are only beginning to rise with the forestry only now. And lots of problems that we're encountering and challenging today, the land of issue is still the removal of people, those organs. If we go to a place called Eskana in Mpumalanga, where people have been literally removed and their houses taken down like the old days of apartheid by the big companies in the forest like Musabi, like Lomoni. Those are the people that we are dealing with, trying to correct the situation. But there's one area where we are trying to bring young people on the campus. We have invited university students, Jefferson, that we took them the whole day, we took them in the buses. They visited stations, they visited the treatment of locks and all the kind of stuff. So we have been really involved. Maybe, I repeat, maybe, we have not been getting more space, we have not created more space to come back, and but a lot is happening on the forest, in the forest.
The reason we would never fail to deal with forests is our understanding of the role of trees in the harvesting of the carbon or carbon sink and how forests play as the lungs of the earth so that it can mitigate the effect of climate change. This week, next week, I will be with the authors in the DG of forestry. I will be with him in two villages. Planting trees. So you know, it is our role to ensure that in every house, in every village, in every house there is two trees, one for shade and one for fruit. When we speak of the 1 million trees a year, we speak of the campaign we drive. The reason why, by the way, luckily, Limpopo has not appeared as most of the highly challenged provinces on property is the abundance of fruit. I have been to Benin. In every house you will find two or three mango trees. It's what you need to be doing. So it's, I would be happy sometimes once in a while for members of the of this committee to say we passed a place where there was no tree, there is a tree today. There will be nothing wrong with that when you can say that.
I cannot give over to you. I can see you around Fafi and you around team. What is our position there? Maybe the issue that I will, so that I will talk to them. And the issue that was raised by Honorable Masale in terms of the interpretation of the information is there to be answered by Joe. Please be brief. Please be brief. I don't want to take the committee from. Please be brief to the question. That's brief. Over to you, then, the issue of morality. And you may want to add to what our board, our principal, has commented on.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair, honorable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, colleagues. On the question of the companies as identified here, I should just mention that the achievement of sustainable forest management objectives require collective work between government and industry. 2008, the government introduced what we call the Forest Sector Transformation Charter, and it was clear in terms of the charter that there needs to be targets that are supposed to be achieved, both between government and industry. Some of them have been identified by our principals. So we have a forum that is called the Forest Sector Charter Council that needs to drive implementation of those targets. If I can just list them, it's about afforestation, it's about the issue of local economic development, it's about the issue of skills development, supply chain issues. So we work with these companies in those areas. There are challenges, as you may have already indicated, that are being resolved, but there's also areas where engagement and support to communities exists between these companies, because the act that we have called the National Forest Act compels forestry companies to build viable relationships with communities, because without viable relationships, sustainable forest practices get compromised. So I'm just saying that challenges that have been resolved, but there's also areas of positive collaboration between companies and communities, and the Charter Council provides a platform to deal with those issues. Thank you.
Thank you, GG, Honorable Minister, Honorable Members. GG has actually already touched appropriately on this issue of verification. There is a certain prescribed way of dealing with performance information. You cannot just accept any information which is given to you. That information, before it can become public or it can be for public consumption, it has to go through certain processes which are referred to as verification of the firstly, about the indicator, the technical indicator description. At the time of planning, when we do the planning, if somebody says, I am going to train 10 farmers, there has to be an agreement at the very beginning what the evidence of that is going to be. And that agreement must be declared at the very beginning. It must become part and parcel of the plan. And that is the reason why we are talking about verification, we are talking about evidence. If at the beginning a person says, I'm going to train 10 farmers as I indicated, we must agree. What do you mean by training 10 farmers? And what is going to be the proof that indeed those 10 farmers have been trained? And somebody will say, okay, I will provide an attendance register of those farmers. On top of that, I will provide the ID numbers of those farmers, etc., etc. But that agreement should be there at the very beginning. Now, at the time when these people report, if they say, yes, I have trained 10 farmers, if when I look at the what has been agreed upon at the beginning and I discover that, but something is missing, for this particular farmer, there is no ID number. We cannot accept that information. Then 10 farmers were trained. That is what we do. And in order to make provision for this verification, National Treasury and the Department of Monetary Evaluation have come up with a framework to say, after 30 days, when we report, 30 days after the court has ended, we can only talk of a preliminary information. It means there's still going to be a process of verifying that information. And 90 days after the court has ended, we talk about an actual information. In other words, during that period, up to 90 days after the court has ended, there will still be some verification process to check, to verify, to make sure that indeed what has been reported on is true. Sometimes it will take an effort to actually go to the site where this has happened to verify, to make sure that it has happened. That is the reason why sometimes they are delayed in terms of the verification. Thank you.
I think, yes, so by and large, we have presented and completed this, and I think, that question of taking commodities and one of the components of the mainly the debate of all the staff, it was indeed a matter of the fact that did not say anything. Where are they? Who are they? What is their conversation? What do they have? How far are they from? So that is the thing that was then that is all I'm going to do. If that's the possibility.
Madam Chair, I'm going to give it back to you. And thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Members, we have now reached the last count. Like we said at the beginning, we'll start with the chair, page 16 of slide 16. Can you just clarify the English for me? MTFF target. It says 80,000 smallholder producers by 2019. And when I read it, it means your MTSF target is 80,000. But at the bottom there, the bold thing, this is what confuses me. It says 80,000 is what is required to reach the MTSF target of 300,000. But the reason here, you are saying you could not proceed with this due to lack of funds. Now the question which might come immediately, that one which was set aside for this induction and this thing, what happened to it? And I will come back to you with the figure just now as to how much you have been set aside for that purpose. The last one is on the patient one, okay, I think what I would say is that he's a good question. So those are the questions which I'm quoting from the side of the chair and the suggestion that you are making for you to ensure that you do this. When we meet next time, give us a report on those. Any other follow-up question members or questions on our content and who else? No provocative statements, who else? Okay, you're the only one.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now that I know what the waters feel like, I'll be really cautious. Thank you very much. I'm going to go back to allocations and I need an answer. 25 out of 200 applications from the Freikron fishing cooperative were successful. 25 out of 200. And this is a community that mostly survives on fishing. Now, I ask myself, if 35 out of 200 are successful of the fishing community, what are we telling them? What are the alternatives for them to do? So, and then, Minister, you tell me about 25 or 5 companies or organizations that dominate the fishing industry, and I ask myself, but you're the government. You have been for 21 years? Yeah, 21 years, serious. What would you say? Because you are still being bullied by multinational corporations. You are the government. I mean, you are MK Vets. You can take these people on.
Now, Honourable Minister, we are closing this thing of MK Vets once and for all. We are no longer going to open it. The only thing which I want you to do in the next meeting, whether you communicate with Honourable Paulson or Woodford, please remember, because these are Honourable members.
Yes.
They won't just make a statement without any proof. In the next meeting, you must indicate to this portfolio committee who are these MK Vets who are giving this right without maybe the necessary equipment and so on. The second one, which you must give us, because these things were raised formally in the meeting, is this money that you are giving to thieves. Because we want to know who are these thieves, and then you must explain to us as to why I'm giving thieves money and so on. Because those statements were made here. And I don't want you to respond now. I want you to go and check with your department, check with whoever made that allegation, and formally you must come back and report to this portfolio committee. Any other team members? None. Honourable Minister, GM, and Uchugi.
Thank you. Chairperson, it was raised by Honourable team member Mungu. The criteria, I'm sure, is met. How you allocate to the communities that live along the ocean, seas, and wherever they fish. What was just one point I want to raise and check it if it could be really a criteria. I grew up at a place called Mzumbe. I was 4 km, I'm 4 km from the sea, in Rochester. I was born there. So we walk to the fish and come back and fish. I'm a little bit of a teacher by profession. We still walk. Now I heard that was an issue if you give these rights to teachers. Now these rights are given to communities that are along the sea and live on it. And I know I can give you the long list of teachers long list of teachers that they go that part of those communities, they still take their word and go there too. So, and that is explained in a very distinct way to understand that if you are a teacher, becomes a class. And if you are a teacher, you can't be a member of a community that lives on the ship. And as I'm saying, that as a teacher, I still work. When the issue was that these rights are even given to teachers. Now, I'm saying, as far as I know and understand, there are teachers that are ordinary community members living in the same community that they make livelihood out of going to teach. So that it should be explained so that you don't commit crime and you tell the teachers that are in along the sea and are part of those communities that your certificate of being a teacher immediately disqualifies you to get. Because it was made a point to say even teachers in two can do that. And I know that teachers are part of the communities along the sea.
I can say, Chatterton, we will follow up on the point made by Honorable John Blue. And I hope she will also assist us with information that, but we welcome this debate. And we hope that the honorable members will have issues that they think can be dealt with should not wait only for this meeting without inaction. Because as a department, the key is to improve the performance of the department and the rendering of our service to community. And I agree with you. I will do my own investigation, and I think the honorable member will do another thing by submitting if he knows of any MKMBA with respect to fishing rights. And obviously we will be able to deal with that.
Yes. Conclusion. Really, that to thank you, Chair, and honorable members of the committee for giving us a good amount of wisdom to develop the department. And I say that's how I look at the comments and questions. They are enhancing our knowledge about the areas we need to attend. And it's not just a given. I really appreciate and thank you on behalf of my team. And therefore, going forward, we will ensure that we continue working with you and improving the particular. Don't say that they identify for us. Thank you, Mr.
Chair.
You want to do something?
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Is the case for what
find it here, it must then be clear that the 80,000 is support in order for us not to condemn it. The other one which I wanted to ask is the induction and training. Money which was set aside and then, but here you are saying there's no money. No, what is it? Yes, I think it was 125,000 or something.
Okay.
You can go back to the document to get the details.
Okay.
I'm done, sir. I really am done on my time. That's why we keep on getting the opportunity.
Just a matter of clarity, Chief. I am not against former teachers getting court decision. I think the bottom line is, and that is what the committee ordered, the people dealing with small scale fisheries have said, the bottom line is you must make a living out of fishing. Now if you have a full-time job as a teacher, and that's what I'm talking about, teachers who are in jobs who are teaching full-time. I've not got a beef with a teacher who wants to be a fisherman or a DM for that matter. I'm just saying, in this committee it's been said over and over and over again that the quotas are meant for traditional fishermen. I just want to put the record straight. Thanks.
If you have another question, you can.
It's to do with, the report doesn't speak about it, but I think the report is also right. I'd like to know the details. Thank you. I had a question, I need my eyes. I'd like to know I don't teach any longer, but I can still teach you for the lesson. What sort of expenses or has the department incurred in terms of unfair labour practices and HR-related matters, because it's a burning issue in all government departments. I mean, we're really not really good at it. And, we need to report on these things, and there's no mention of it made here. So, I'd just like to know, especially in police, and whatnot, they've got correctional services. Right, Jim? So, what's it like having agriculture, forestry, and fishery? And the status of these cases, how many cases are involved, and all of that, because it's nowhere yet. Thank you.
I think we can go and verify the information as to how many cases are outstanding, point number one, or where judgments were against that. I'm sure you'll refer to that. For dismissing people, and we are found wanting at the end. And I think we need to go and work that out, as well as how long it takes. I'm sure in the report we raise that as a matter of concern. That cases take too long to be settled before, and we're working very drastically to make sure that we short circuit that. But I'm sure the Tara report of in terms of figures as to how many workers they've taken up the court and how many cases we have lost, such resulting in this expenditure. But you must remember as well that there are also issues that are not only in the government. Where a worker may be found internally to have committed fraud, but if the case is still pending in the Justice Department, you can't get rid of that work. But I'm sure we will be able to give you a thorough sort of the committee, when the next comes, give the total number of what has been of the cost, how much it has cost us, and the, as well as what are the measures, what they think to deal with.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is it
not
to thank him again?
Members, on the 25th of November, it will be on a Friday, we are going to receive a briefing by the small scale fisheries representatives on their readiness in the small-scale fishing sector. They will also talk about their challenges and proposals. Now, as a result of that particular briefing, next Tuesday, we would want the Department of DAF to come and brief the committee on the state of the South African fisheries resources. So we'll get that briefing next week, Tuesday, and then on Friday the 25th, stakeholders will be here to talk to us. So when they talk to us, we'll have been empowered by the briefing we have got from the department next week, Tuesday. So that is how it is going to be. Now let me take this opportunity to thank you, Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, your DDG, the Chief Director, and everybody. All our members, parliamentary, PMG, staff, everybody, thank you very much for your fruitful contribution to today's interaction. Despite the fact that there were provocative statements and so on, we were able to achieve what we expected to achieve out of this meeting. The meetings are
jammed.
I hope
we
think that fishing can be perfect. No, the government.
No.
And their names. And their names.